and welcome to another Trev and Ben podcast. Hello, Ben.
It's too hot.
Oh, here we go. Moaning already. You didn't even say hello. You
just hello, went everyone.
Straight in moaning.
So hot.
It's ridiculous.
And rather than, you know, chilling outside in the shade, yeah. I've had to lumber myself upstairs to the hottest part of the house.
Yeah.
In a room with a hot computer and hot lights and record this.
Right, so this podcast has now become a resentment.
It's a burden.
It's a burden. Well, I'm in a room as well. All the doors are shut, the curtains are closed, I'm sitting by a computer, I'm not moaning.
That's because I beat you to it.
Yeah, I was ready for it. I tell you what I've noticed. I've said this to a couple of people this week because I've been to a couple of social things over the weekend. We all talk about the weather. It's a very British thing.
Of course.
But I gave my theory out to a couple of people, and it's not... I thought people would jump on board with my theory of climate change and how the weather has changed.
Well, let's hear it.
Well, I think we don't have spring anymore. I think we need to take spring out of the seasons because we go winter, summer. That's how, and that's become, like, I've noticed that over the last, I would say, 4 or 5 years. Only 3 weeks ago, I still had my storage heater on. It was that cold.
I think you're onto something there.
It so definitely, yeah, take spring
has
out.
Gone from really cold to just instantly boiling.
Yeah. And we can't acclimatise. There's no time to acclimatise. So don't give me that little spring area of hope where I can acclimatise to the fucking heat wave that I know that's coming. Just don't give me that. Just go winter, heat wave.
I think you're onto something.
That's all we have now. And that's a result of climate change, Ben. And if you're a climate change denier, argue with me. I think there's enough proof. I'd quite happily go to some kind of parliamentary hearing, some G7 summit, whatever they want me to come to and say, present your evidence. I'm not a doctor, but I'm hoping they would just call me Dr. Smith just because I'm at such a prestigious thing. So present your evidence, Dr. Smith. And I said, well, 3 weeks ago, I said I had my storage heater on, mate. And now it's fucking baking. I'm sweating my bollocks off. What more do you need? Stop burning fossil fuels, you fucking morons.
Probably get the Nobel Prize for that speech and your first doctorate.
I reckon I would. I'd be honours list, doctorates. Yeah. I'd get all the universities. They'd be inviting me to take honorary doctorates. I'd be Nobel Prizes. And they'd be quite welcome to look at my electricity bill and see how it goes from usage of this much to usage of this little. In the blink of an eye. More evidence for you. More evidence.
Don't get me started. I have had my... I'll tell you what. A certain British electric company who happened to provide gas, they have decided that my bill should be, with no evidence to support themselves, tripled, apparently.
Well, probably to fund some sort of mining. Fracking. Why are they tripling your bill?
I have no idea. I'm in dispute with them at the moment. They're sending an engineer around. It's a touchy subject.
Good.
At the moment.
Well,
and of course, my big downside about the instant heat wave we're having is that I'm not complaining about this. I happen to tan quite nicely. I don't tend to burn very easily. I've got quite olivey skin, which goes quite a nice colour. But the problem is wearing a t-shirt and shorts to work.
Yeah.
I go a very nice colour, but only in certain places.
Well, just do your postal round in your, I don't know, put some budgie smugglers on or something. Just do it in that.
I think people would complain.
Well, I don't know how you're going to get around this having tan lines then.
I mean, it's extreme,
You've got two options as far as I'm concerned. You either just cover everything up so you don't get a tan, you don't get the tan lines at all.
I'd be so hot.
Or you have to go the other way. And just wear minimum. I'm sure the postal service, surely they provide you with some sort of postal service speedo. No, is that not part of the uniform that's not given to you?
No, I've not heard of that one.
No. You might want to suggest it. Do you have a suggestion box in the depot?
The postman's pouch.
The postman's pouch. I mean, I wouldn't want to see my postman in it. But I could understand it from a postie's point of view in this sort of heat.
With all
that walking, I'd imagine there's there's a fair bit of chafing that potentially could happen? Do you have to Vaseline yourself up beforehand? Do you get like this sort of postman's nipple?
I've not had postman's nipple, but I have after a long hot day had to come home and have a quick shower because certain zones have got a bit gungy.
Oh, nice. I'm never going to look at my postman in the same light ever again. And I'm not sure I want to handle any mail that comes through now, because I bet there's a lot of rearranging that's going on as he's doing his round, as they're sticking to the inside of his legs.
Oh, yes. You want to wear loose fitting. You don't want to wear anything tight.
Yeah, yeah. I want all postage. Right. Here's the thing. So have a postage pouch. Mm. I'll allow that. But also, you've got to wear rubber gloves because I don't want any connection with that part of your body and my mail, frankly. How do we get to that? How do we get to talking about that?
I have no idea. We were talking about you being a fake doctor and winning a peace prize or something.
I don't think I'll...
Onto my sweaty crotch.
I don't really want to be a fake doctor. I don't want any fake about it. I just want my evidence to be taken seriously, and I've presented the evidence to you, and I don't think anyone could possibly argue it. I reckon if I was to just phone Greta Thunberg and say, look, 3 weeks ago, I turned my storage heater off, I believe that's evidence enough for you to take to the powers that be that listen to you. They're not, maybe won't listen to me, so maybe I need to present my evidence via Greta.
I think so. I mean, people tend to listen to her.
They do listen to her because she's not a 44-year-old grumpy bastard like I am, who just going to moan about the heat.
Yeah.
Anyway, the other good thing that you can do, though, is sit with your doors open and watch the old Euros. They've started, haven't they?
They have, and we got off to a decent start. We won 1-0.
1-0?
Did I say it weird?
No, sorry. It's just whenever I hear someone say 1-0, I have to do it like a David Coleman. 1-0.
Okay.
It's just an instant reaction. I couldn't help myself. Do you do that with certain players? Like, I was doing this thing last night for the Netherlands. By the way, you have to call them the Netherlands now.
I don't like that.
Did you hear the commentator say that last night during the game?
I actually heard it beforehand. I'm not being like a dick for saying I don't like it. I'm saying I don't like it because I was once asked a quiz question and the answer was the Netherlands and I said Holland and was denied the point, for which I thought that's just ridiculous. So I refuse to call them the Netherlands anymore.
Well, no, you have to call, because Holland is only a part of the Netherlands. And I don't know what the other bits of the Netherlands are. The Netherlands to me always sounds a bit either mythical. Oh, we're going to march to the Netherlands. Or it sounds like the area you're covering up with your postman's pouch. But then what confused me was they're then still calling them the Dutch. So is Dutch still the Netherlands?
I don't know. To me, this is very similar territory, which we were talking about, you know, a podcast or two ago, where you were saying how Cornwall wants to divorce itself from England. And I got very angry with them for that. It's a lovely place, and the people of Cornwall are.
Yeah.
Fuck off. If you don't want to be part of the country, we'll saw a big line, we'll lop off Cornwall, push you into the sea. Same with Holland. You're Holland, and that's the end of it.
But what about the other areas of the Netherlands who aren't Holland? They must feel really affronted when you say Holland. They're like, it's not just Holland. There are other parts of the Netherlands that have to be taken into account.
That's one of your better impressions. Have we checked the big book of accents? Is that one that's acceptable to do?
To just say Holland is sloppy. I think you can do that. I can do Dutch or Netherlandish.
Yeah, I think that's okay.
Anyway, I was watching the Netherlands last night.
Yeah.
And they got a player called, well, I think his surname's Depay, but he's called Memphis. He's like Memphis Depay.
Okay.
And whenever he gets the ball, I like to do an Elvis. I can't help myself. I do a little because Memphis, Tennessee, is where Elvis was. I just do that weird thing. So there's lots of players that I have these little weird ticks for. And if someone says 1-0, that's a little tick. 1-0.
Yeah, I don't have many of those, although I think there was... My knowledge of football is very spotty, but did Everton have a footballer called Dickov at some point?
He played for Arsenal as well. I don't know if he played for Everton, but he definitely played for... I think he played for Black, Burn. Definitely played for Arsenal. We had him when he was quite young. Paul Dickoff.
I briefly managed to convince my mum for about 5 minutes that his first name was Atorma.
So, how old were you? I mean, that's a great childhood joke, that.
I don't know when Dickoff was at his height of fame, but you can probably guess as to where my level of maturity was. Yeah.
Well, that would have been in the... you would probably only been about 10 or 11, I'd have thought. good news that Christian Eriksen's all right. I wasn't watching that match. You text me. I was out at a do. I was being very social. And I got your message quite late on. And it said, are you watching this? And I think I text you back to sort of say, well, I'm recording anything. I'm avoiding scores. Because I just thought you were going to tell me there'd been some VAR controversy. And then it turned out to be that. But thank God he's all right.
Yeah, that was truly horrifying to see that. It was very uncomfortable watching. Reminded me of that time Fabrice Muamba went down, and it was a very similar event. Although this was really scary. Not that the other one wasn't, but this was really scary and shocking to watch it live. And because I didn't see the other one live, but this was happening right in front of me. And I felt it was simultaneously one of the nicest and worst things I've ever seen. One of the nicest being the level of respect and camaraderie that the Danish players had when they sort of formed a wall of respect around him so that prying eyes, and he had a bit of privacy while he was having this horrible moment, and just sort of shielded him from the media and all that horrible stuff. And it was just a really lovely show of respect and love from the Danish players. On the flip side of that, I would like to say to the cameraman who zoomed in whilst he was receiving CPR and receiving the defibrillators, and to the other cameraman who decided to zoom in on his distraught wife, I'd like to say fuck you both with bells on.
But the good thing is, he seems to be doing all right so far. So that's a good thing.
I think he's probably never going to play again. But when it was all going down, it was kind of a big sort of reminder that actually the football doesn't matter at this point. Nothing really matters other than if he's okay.
Yeah, which was a bit of a wake-up call for me in a way, because I'd been fuming about something at the Euros before the first ball was even kicked. And
Really?
Something really annoyed me on the opening game. I don't know if this has happened since. So did you watch the opening match?
Yes, yeah.
So did you notice how the football arrived on the pitch?
Oh yeah, it was wheeled on with some weird remote control car. I must say, I did clock it.
Fucking ridiculous.
I did clock it, and I thought,
God,
that
annoyed
odd.
Me so much. Just a reason to get fucking Volkswagen on and get them a little remote control car. I don't think they do it on every game, but I just thought football doesn't need that sort of gimmicky shit. I was so angry about it because I assumed that was going to happen at every match. And I just thought, if this is coming into our game, I don't want it. Don't want this kind of shit. That's like having everything sponsored, isn't it? It's like even the ball has to be brought on by a little remote control fucking Volkswagen.
I must say, when I first saw it happen, I thought, I wonder if this is some sort of really strange social distancing measure to avoid handling the ball as much as possible and spreading germs. And then when the little car arrived to the centre spot and I saw the Volkswagen logo, I thought, I understand now.
Honestly, I was so cross about it. Just so
commercialism
angry.
Nightmare.
Yeah, it is. I just thought it reminded me of when I was in the States and I went to an ice hockey match and every little element of that was sponsored. And I just thought, don't bring that into football, please. Sponsorship on shirts, fine. Even stadiums are named after sponsors. I can just about live with that. The hoardings, fine. They've been around for years. But let's not start having little remote control cars to bring on the fucking ball. Oh, honestly.
I think it was just an old wives' tale and a bit of a joke. But there was this thing going around for a while that there was a British boxer. And I can't remember his name for the life of me. But he was legendarily so shit that the joke was the sponsors had the bottom of his boots with their logo on it because there was a high probability they'd be seen.
Yeah, well, that's the sort of thing that's going to... I hate that sort of stuff, mate. Hate it. But obviously it's exciting because England are there, Scotland are there. Who else is there? Oh, what's the other... Oh... Oh, sorry, I think I'm having a bit of a Boris moment.
Did you what are you talking about?
Did you hear Boris in the Houses of Parliament? Boris is the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom.
Oh, he didn't forget the Welsh, did he?
Just have a listen to what he quickly said in Parliament.
By the way, Mr. Speaker, wish all the very best to Scotland and England and all the home nations who may be playing in this.
All the home nations who may be playing in this, because I have no idea about football. I know England are in it. I know Scotland are in it. Who else is in there? Fucking idiot. He's the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. Mention the Welsh.
Surprised. I'm surprised he hasn't got an earpiece in just for someone to, in the back to be going, Wales, Wales, Mr. Prime Minister. Boris, Wales, say Wales.
He wouldn't listen though, would he? No way he'd do that. Also, can I just say, while we're talking about England, right? I don't want to get political about this, and we'll wrap up football stuff in a minute because we're not a football podcast, but I just want to talk about taking the knee very briefly.
Okay. Right?
Why are fans booing it? If you don't agree with it, fine, but just shut the fuck up. And I was beginning to feel in the Premier League it was losing its impact a little bit, but the fact that people are now booing it, I think let's do it more. Let's do it at the start of each half, because the longer these fucking morons boo it, the longer and more times we should do it.
It's actually not entirely a bad thing that idiots boo it, because that means it makes the news and that means it helps further spread the message.
That's true.
Not the perfect way of spreading it, but it helps keep the message alive at least.
And I suppose the noise that is beginning to drown out the boos shows that there is more support. You know, even if you don't necessarily agree taking the knee is the thing, it's support for what it stands for, isn't it?
Well, the problem is there are some people who feel that they associate the taking of the knee with the Black Lives Matter movement, which they feel has become too politicized and not really representing what it used to or should do. It's that, you know, that might be their opinion. But then you've got the footballers explaining why they're taking the knee, and they're taking it as an anti-racism movement. So you've got the players telling you that's why they're taking the knee.
Yeah.
And then if you boo them, then you're either saying we don't believe you or you're saying we disagree with anti-racist sentiment.
Yeah.
So either way, you're a fucking idiot. And what a nice way to support your team to glory by booing them.
By booing them. Yeah, yeah.
Fucking idiots.
There was a bloke on the radio who phoned into a radio station. This is amazing. He phoned, he went, I boo him when I take the knee. Because it's a political thing. And the presenter went, well, you know, it's not. They've explained to you, just as you have, Ben, that it's not a political thing. And he went, no, it's just, you know, I just don't think I should be doing it. I mean, I respect their decision to do it, but you don't respect it because you're booing it. But you know, my road is a little bit of a hive of all kinds of activity.
Yeah, it's a nightmare. You need to move.
And most of it I find incredibly annoying, right? So this week I'm sitting in my front room and I could hear this racket, this sort of something being wheeled along the pavement. But it didn't sound like a small thing. It sounded like one of those, you know, those big wheelie bins that are like behind shops and restaurants.
Yeah.
It kind of sounded like that being wheeled along. And it was getting louder and louder. And I was thinking, oh God, what is it now? What is the noise now in the road? And then it stopped. And I thought, oh, that's good. And then I thought, that's an odd noise. It sounds like someone's playing the piano.
Okay.
And so I got up and went to the window, and sure enough, just outside my house was a piano that someone was now playing. And when I say playing, they weren't sort of playing a well-known, they were just sort of plinking, plonking away. And they must have been there for about 20 minutes, just playing the piano on and off, just little. And I thought, well, at least it's a noise that's not too irritating. And then 20 minutes later, they just started wheeling it up the road again. And I thought they'd probably just bought it off of someone, wheeling it to their house and just needed a break. But I just thought, what a weird thing to suddenly see outside your house.
I think it's genius. I think he's probably the world's most determined busker.
Well, he weren't getting any money.
I mean, you see them all in sort of like, you know, the sort of underpasses and things like that with the little guitars strumming away and you flick a few pennies into the guitar case. But that's some commitment, going through Thornton Heath with a piano.
Yeah, I mean, you see like one-man bands, don't you, with the sort of drum on their back, but you actually be wheeling a piano about. Because they do have, like, at Thornton Heath Station, my local train station, there is a piano there.
Is there?
There's a piano at the station, and
I've never noticed that. I've been to that station a few times.
It's not on the platforms. It's just sort of on the bit as you go out of the ticket office. There's a piano there, and it's been there for probably a couple of years. And just people, as they walk by, will just have a little tinkle on it. And I sort of think that's quite a nice sound, somebody just tinkling away at the piano. But if there was a piano on every... Well, I say on every street corner, that would take a lot of investment. But but let's say each block had its own piano. I'd probably get annoyed with that in the end.
I can't convince the council to come down and you know, clear the weeds off the path, let alone install a piano on every corner.
Yeah.
It'd be ridiculous.
I mean, I don't think this was a council installment, the one that was being brought down the street. But I thought that's one of the weirdest things I've seen. And I've seen some odd things, but that was a weird... thing to see outside your window at 8 o'clock on a weeknight evening.
Well, you don't live a million miles away from the train station, so I'm wondering, has someone stolen it and has sort of made the slowest getaway possible?
They were heading towards the station, though.
Oh, towards the station? Okay.
Yeah.
Where the hell were they taking it?
Well, I don't know. I'm assuming that they live locally and perhaps they bought this second hand and were just wheeling it home. But it got me thinking about weird things that you might have seen. And there was two things that came to mind. I haven't seen this for quite a while, but I did used to see Spider-Man every Friday.
I remember regularly seeing Spider-Man in Thornton Heath.
Yeah, every Friday I'd see Spider-Man at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. He'd walk by the house, and then about 20 minutes later, he'd walk back in the full Spider-Man outfit. Like, it wasn't just like someone in a Spider-Man t-shirt. This was a proper Spider-Man outfit, full on mask, everything. I had this feeling that perhaps his son went to a school locally.
Never saw him with a child though, ever.
Did I? I might. I don't know. You see, in my head, I think I might have seen him with a child, and the child was also in a Spider-Man outfit.
I personally never saw him with a child. Sure,
I think I did. So I wondered whether, like, his son was a very anxious kid or something, and so to get him out and back home, the only way to do that would be to dress as Spider-Man.
If that's the case, then that's an absolutely lovely gesture of good parenting. I suspect, being in Thornton Heath, it's a nutcase.
I haven't seen him for a while, though, so I don't know. Perhaps he's been got by whoever Spider-Man's nemesis is.
If only you knew that, that would have been a much funnier gag, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I was going to say the Green Lantern, but I don't think it is it?
I've got no idea.
It's the green something, isn't it?
Well, there is the Green Lantern. That is a thing.
Yeah, I don't know if that's Spider-Man. Anyway, yeah, you're right. But I could have done some research on it.
Ben, just pause. I've got a funny joke here. Just pause. I want to look up who Spider-Man's enemy is. But nah, just go with it.
Well, the thing was, I've spent all afternoon trying to come up with a gag for my other bit of weird stuff.
Let's hear it.
And unfortunately, I even toyed with changing the truth to get a gag out of this, but I thought it's better if I tell you the story and then tell you what my gags would have been.
We can workshop it.
Yeah. So one of the other weirdest things I ever saw was a man dancing with a pork pie.
Oh, you've told me about this before. Yeah.
He was outside a supermarket on Victoria Street in London, and he was holding out the pork pie sort of full arm's length in front of him. And he was kind of doing like a ballroom dance with this pork pie.
Must have been pissed.
And then the weirdest thing about that was there was also a kid who didn't seem to have anything to do with Pork Pie Man who just started playing his recorder. So the two things kind of married up. So I don't know whether perhaps the kid saw the man dancing and thought, well, I'll play the recorder to accompany, or whether the recorder was going and the man thought, well, I'll accompany that with some interpretive dance with a pork pie. I don't know. I mean, this was only lunchtime, but he looked like he'd probably been in the Wetherspoons since it opened.
Yes, I can imagine.
So I thought of changing that so that he was dancing with a sausage roll.
Right.
Cause why? Because then I could say he was doing the sausage rock and roll. That was going to be one gag.
It's not your strongest.
And then I thought, do I change it to an eclair? That he was dancing with an eclair and he was doing the soft shoe pastry shuffle.
That's better. I like that. That's definitely what you should have done.
So, weird things you've ever seen? Can you top that?
I can't top it for weirdness. I can probably top it for inappropriateness.
Oh, okay.
Which I'm not sure is a word, but I'm going with it. Just to sort of save anyone's embarrassment, this isn't actually the street I grew up on. It's a street somewhere else.
A friend grew up on.
It's a friend who I have grown up living with.
Right.
Yeah. And so once upon a time...
This is Mrs. Ben's friend, right?
So. Once upon a time, we happened to notice one of our neighbour's sons arrive back home from school.
Yeah.
He was... young lad at the time, in his early teens. And it turned out that he'd got home before his parents had.
Right.
And he had accidentally forgotten his key that morning and was locked out of the house.
Right. Nothing so, too weird so far.
No. So, wait for it. he found himself with nothing to do, no key. He had to wait for his parents to get back. And to pass the time, he decided... in his front garden to do what most teenage boys do to keep themselves entertained when the door's closed and they've got a box of tissue paper and a strong internet connection.
Paper mache.
Of course, yes.
Right. Wow. That's that is inappropriate.
Not sure if he didn't know how visible he was. Not sure if he just didn't give a fuck. Which I quite admire, really.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you got to. I was going to say he's got balls, but you would have seen those. So, that's incredible. I mean, what a thing! I always remember a mate at school saying to me one day he got to school and he just went, "I've just passed someone having a wank in the subway."
What if it was him?
Could well have been. Maybe he was he was notorious for it.
I wonder if that age, it's sort of just like an instant reaction, you know? You think, well, I'm 13.
Yeah.
I've got 5 minutes to spare. Well, this is what I normally do, so why not?
I suppose, but surely you would, you'd think about a bit of privacy about it.
Maybe he was quite proud of it. I don't know.
Well, there we go. That is where I remember being on a bus coming home from school one day and we stopped at the bus stop. And the house that we were stopped by, you looked in and they had a big TV screen. And this is in the early 90s. So it's not like your big TV screens were the norm. So this was a big TV in a room and it was some very hardcore pornography on that and no net curtains.
Now, is that a criminal offence?
I
don't think it is.
I wouldn't have thought so. Wanking in public probably is.
Oh, that definitely is.
But having pornography...
on your TV, I mean, it's in your house.
Yeah.
So you can do that.
Yeah, I think you just have to be aware that if you haven't got net curtains up, but I suppose...
All right, you're saying that's legal and fine, is it, yeah?
Well, I don't know.
I've got a little curveball to throw into this.
The way that you're really looking for me to say yes, that's legal, is almost like you're looking for permission to do it.
No.
You want to say, well, I've been meaning to broadcast pornography out to East Grinstead for a few weeks, but I've really been worried that it might be on the verge of illegal. But now you've said it's not.
If you were to say, right, okay, someone can broadcast hardcore porn from a big screen TV with no curtains.
Yeah.
And you say, yes, that's fine. An Englishman's house is his castle.
Yeah.
You can do what you want. What if you lived opposite a school?
I'd imagine there'd be some ramifications for that.
You'd get a lot of complaints, wouldn't you?
I'm sure that the law would say something about having to be aware of your surroundings. You can do whatever you watch, whatever you want in your house, as long as whatever you're watching is legal. But there must be something about making that visible to other people. There must be something that protects people over that, mustn't there?
So you're going to send the police round to someone's house because they haven't got the curtains pulled?
I'm not saying I am.
That's what you're saying you think should happen.
I reckon if you lived opposite a school and you had a big screen and you were pumping out porn, I reckon the police would come round and they'd probably say, look, just have a think about where you are. It's a bit like...
No, you're wrong. They can't do you for a public order offence. You're at home.
Right.
It's not a breach of the peace. You're at home in your house.
It must be, yeah, but there must be something about obscene publications. If you're broadcasting it out of your window, essentially, then that must come under obscene publication.
We just said it was on a very big screen. That's all we said.
Yeah, I reckon...
It was visible to the outside world. We weren't saying you were projecting it or broadcasting it. It just was on.
Yeah, but the fact that you're... It's coming out of your window and everyone can see it.
Not literally. That's a whole different offence coming out of your window.
I reckon that the police could knock on your door and just say, look, mate, it's a bit like, again, I won't give any details, too many details about this man, but when I lived in my first ever flat, my neighbour, he was a very, very odd man. And I mean... really odd.
The cat man. Yes.
Right? So one day the police knocked on the door, on my door, and they said, is the cat man? Even the police knew him as the cat man, right?
God.
And I said, oh no, he's that flat. So they knocked on his door, and I'm not going to lie, I was definitely eavesdropping. I wanted to find out what the hell was going on. And they said to him, right, they said to him, bear in mind this flat was next to, well, not exactly next door. There might have been a couple of properties in between, but we were very near to a school.
Right.
They said to him, you can take your shirt off in the garden, but with your reputation... not your trousers. Right? So that had stuck with me for a while. And then I got to know the other neighbours who lived upstairs. And one of those neighbours had lived in this place for a long, long time. So we all had dinner together. Right? And I told them this story. And then they said to me, well, the thing about the cat man is that...
I love how you're sparing his first name. I know his first name.
Yeah. I mean, not that anyone... Not
like anyone would know.
No, but the thing is, right, I was talking to a friend's mum at her party once, and we got talking about the area this was in, and she said, oh, I grew up just around there. And I went, oh, right, yeah. There was this man, he was known as the Cat Man, and she went, oh, yeah, no, I knew of him when I was a kid. And like, so everyone knows him.
God.
Everyone knew of this cat man. So anyway, right, so the neighbour says to me, well, the thing is, he has got a reputation because before you moved into your flat, and my flat, this was on a main road, and my flat was the downstairs at the front with massive bay windows that looked out onto the main road. Right. And he said, before you moved in, there was a period of time where the flat was empty when some work was being done. And he'd got into that flat and he stood at the big bay windows and was wanking.
God.
So, you know, that's the sort of neighbour I had.
See, what you've done is you've taken it from a quirky hypothetical to a horrible, torrid example of someone who's a fucking danger to the public.
This was also the man. He kept a rat that one of his cats had brought in. So I could hear rats running underneath the floorboards of this flat.
Good Jesus.
And I said to him one day, I went, do you hear the rats? And he went, yeah, I do. And also, one of my cats brought in one of the rats, and it ran behind my cooker, and still there. And I put food down for it. And I was like, "What? What? What?" Oh, there's so many stories about this man. I got burgled. So I've turned this into this is the Catman show.
Well, no, you see, what's happened is you've started off a story about weird things you've seen your neighbours done.
Yeah.
You went plinky plonky piano. I went, oh, okay, I see your plinky plonky piano. Yeah. I raise you street wanker.
Yeah.
And then now you're saying, I see your street wanker. Yeah. And I'm going to go in all chips full house with the best story ever about the weirdest neighbour ever, which can never be trumped.
Well, let's see if... I think this will be the peak. I will win hands down here. So I'd been burgled and I saw him and I said, oh, I've been burgled, and, you know, just to warn you, just to be careful in case they come back. And he went, oh, yeah, I've been burgled several times, which is why I keep this in my back pocket. And he pulled out a little gun and he said, I wouldn't be worried to use it either. I'll just fucking blow their head off. And then he went, hang on a minute. And he walked into his flat, came out with what I thought was a walking stick, and he said, I'll keep this by my bed. That was a sort of sword in a walking stick.
A sword.
And then he has an even bigger gun that he keeps under his pillow.
Did you report him for possession of illegal firearms?
I didn't know whether it was illegal or not. He might have had a license. I just thought, I'm not getting involved. I'm not getting involved.
Okay, so at this point, the croupier in our game of creepy neighbour top trumps turns to me and says, would you care to race, sir? I fold.
Do you ever, I bet you don't because you're quite young, but do you ever watch television with the subtitles on?
No, I don't, no.
Because I at times do now. My hearing is probably getting to that point where some days, some programmes, I can't hear what you're saying. Just mumbling away. So I put subtitles on now, and I think that what you do is you end up becoming slightly addicted to subtitles, because particularly for live stuff, because I don't know how it works. I don't know whether someone sits there typing. I don't know whether it works on audio recognition. I don't know the technology behind it. But when you're trying to watch something live, it's just incredible some of the things that can go wrong. Okay. And this week, there's a program called Sunday Brunch that's on Channel 4. And they have, I don't know whether it's like a tune that starts the show, but the words are, the sun comes up, I fill my cup.
Right.
The subtitles read, the sun comes up, I fill my cock.
Really? I got through.
I'm
it?
Waking up to Sunday brunch. Maybe your old neighbour was typing it. The sun comes up, I fill my cock. So then I went on a little bit of a rabbit hole of times when subtitles have not done their job.
Oh, okay. That sounds fun.
And there are some absolutely amazing ones. So this was on, I don't know, I think it was that people were queuing to get into Wimbledon for the tennis. And they were there on the news to say, look at all the people queuing. We are so good at queuing in this country, was what was trying to be said.
Okay.
What came up on the subtitles were, we might be bad at some things, but we are so good at killing. there's another great one from Princess Eugenie's Royal Wedding, where I'm assuming that they were that what was being said was, what a beautiful dress. What came up on the subtitles were, what beautiful breasts.
That might have just been an observation.
I don't think at royal weddings that's you don't get Hugh Edwards doing his royal commentary going, there's Princess Eugenie, absolutely lovely breasts. Doesn't happen, does it? And even in sport, I mean, when you watch sport with subtitles on, that's incredible. At the tennis, I don't know whether this happens all the time, but certainly at one moment during the tennis, apparently on the subtitles, it came up with just making the noise of the ball going back and forth, just tick-tack, tick-tack,
tick-tack.
You wouldn't need that. You can see the ball, and it's not really making a tic-tac noise, is it?
No, not at all.
And I'll finish with my favourite one. This was, again, on the news, and it was about celebrating the Chinese New Year, and it was beckoning in the year of the horse in 2014. Okay. The subtitles announced, today we are welcoming the Chinese Year of the Horse.
Tell you what though, those whores, lovely breasts.
So there we are, that's it for another Trev and Ben podcast. Just before we go, I've got one recommendation for you this week, Ben.
Go on.
I'll come a little bit late to this, but it's a show on Sky called Mayor of Easttown.
Okay.
It's got Kate Winslet in it, and she plays a rather sort of miserable police officer, but she's out to solve a murder. And I've only watched the first two episodes so far. A mate kept telling me, you've got to watch it, you've got to watch it. And I finally got around to watching it. And it is very compelling. And it's one of those that there's lots of threads already beginning to show. And okay. Kate Winslet is very good. She's good. She does it in an American accent, but I think quite believably.
Good.
I don't know whether Americans would agree, but that's well worth a watch. So there we are. That's it. Thank you very much for listening and downloading. Don't forget, you can get in touch with us anytime. We're at Trev and Ben on Twitter. And we'll catch you again next week. Till then, stay safe, stay well, take it easy.
Bye.